You're on the Front Porch, where we tackle the tough issues facing Appalachia like you and your friends do on your front porch. This week, the budget battle is finally over. Who won? Who lost? And what does it mean for real people in West Virginia? The Front Porch is sponsored by the Charleston Gazette-Mail, using its CGM app to deliver the latest news, traffic, and weather alerts. Download the CGM app at iTunes or Google Play. I'm Scott Finn, Grand Poobah, Executive Director, CEO.
And I just want to say it is an honor and a privilege, the greatest of my life, to serve you on this podcast.
And that's, of course, Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee. Hey, Rick.
Hey.
And Lori Lynn, our conservative columnist, lawyer. Hey, Lori.
Hi, Scott.
Let's get started with this budget. Governor Justice said that he would allow the budget to become law without his signature. Here he is.
I can't sign this. I can't possibly sign this. They voted against the people of this state. They didn't hurt me. They hurt the people.
He doesn't want to sign it. He doesn't want his name on it. But he's so worried about a government shutdown, he's willing to allow it to become law without his signature. And that's what the Constitution allows to happen. So, Rick, who wins in this budget and who loses?
I think Governor Justice did what he had to do. It was probably the only thing he could have done at this point without having a shutdown. And I had a feeling he wouldn't like it. He wouldn't want to sign it. So I was kind of thinking it would go this way. But in West Virginia these days, anything is possible all the time. I think the good news, and again, Governor Justice and the Senate leadership really wanted to eliminate and phase down the income taxes, which is a big source of revenue, and it would replace them with consumption taxes. I personally think it's a good thing that didn't go through, because that would set us up for deficits to come. On the other hand, education, the arts, higher ed, really is going to take some hits from this.
Lori, let's talk politics just for a second. Who won politically in this fight and who lost?
Well, I think the governor lost. If you look back in, what was it, January, February, at the State of the State speech where he unveiled his plan, he had a big wish list, and he really got very little of that. There's no Save Our State Fund. There's no teacher pay increase. He did get the roads package that he wanted separately from the budget. I think he's the big loser. You know, Mitch Carmichael didn't get his income tax phase out. But you look back and you kind of, you know, I don't know how serious that actually ever was, honestly. I think Justice's mistake was he aligned himself with a group of people, the Senate Republicans, who in the end could very easily align themselves with someone else, their fellow Republicans in the House. And he just got left out in the cold in the end.
Also, there were some weird alliances this time. I think like Senate Democrats, House Democrats, and quite a few House Republicans didn't like messing with the income tax and phasing it out. They didn't think it was fiscally responsible. So there were some really unusual, unlikely allies.
And still unusual, even in the blame game, because if you listen to what the governor is saying, he's really going after his fellow Democrats and saying, you know, he's complaining about the budget that was kind of up in the air the last night of the regular session. And you know, if only you guys had gone along with me, you guys are family, it really hurts. He's still going after his own party.
Of course, just a reminder that Governor Justice, until recently, was a part of the Republican family. So
for most of the session, he was going after increased revenue. And so, you know, then at the very end, to go after this thing, which would reduce revenue over time, was a surprise to a lot of people.
It's interesting to remind people where we started with all of this. Governor Justice had a budget that looked for increased revenue and increased spending. The House Republicans wanted to broaden the base of the sales tax, basically include more things in the sales tax. But other than that, they were opposed to any tax increases. And the Senate wanted to do its reduction of the personal income tax. At the end of the day, didn't the House Republicans get their way more than anything else?
I think they did. And also, how did we get from we have no money to let's eliminate the income tax? That's just, I don't get that at all in a rational world.
If politics is in part just stopping things that you don't like, liberals like you had a win in that the personal income tax decreases were stopped, and you think that's a good thing that they were killed.
I think it would have caused a lot of problems in years to come, but there's like $16 million less in higher education, and which has already seen a lot of cuts, which is going to increase costs and make it harder for people to finish school. So, and there are other cuts like that, which are not good. So I'd say it was a bloody stalemate draw. Like some civil war battle.
Lori, do you think that we're going to be seeing this personal income tax reduction come back in future proposals from the legislature, from the governor?
I wonder, because I felt all along, and I've said on this program, I felt like it was a little bit of a cover because they were going to increase the sales tax. And this was a way to say, well, overall, we reduced taxes, or, you know, we gave you a tax reduction. I felt like it was kind of in the context of, we know we're going to have to raise revenue overall, so we'll kind of throw you this bone if you're worried about taxes going up. So I think we may see attention shift to other things on the Republican side in the future.
I think the better outcome would have been, you know, a lot of this discussion was held hostage on the income tax stuff. If they would have done what they did now, but did the House is broadening the base stuff, it would have made a lot of these cuts less draconian that are happening, or even the Senate modest increases in the consumption tax. I think there was a way, I think the clock ran out, and then people didn't really have time to go after the better thing. And some people wanted to take their toys and go home when they didn't get what they wanted.
Just for disclosure's sake, West Virginia Public Broadcasting is a state agency. This year, we received about 45% of our funding from the state government. The rest we raised from a variety of different sources. Our budget was cut by about $1 million. So from 4.6 to about 3.6 in this budget that the governor says he's going to allow to become law. And, you know, that's going to have consequences here. It's already starting to have some consequences. But fortunately, we've had a lot of folks step up and donate more money to make up for some of that. And we're willing to do our part here. We're grateful that even after this budget cut, we're still getting the equivalent of $2 from every man, woman, and child in West Virginia. But, you know, it wasn't just us. It was other education and arts programs and tourism that got really cut in this thing, along with higher ed.
I think I don't assume we should cut. I think we needed we had a revenue problem.
Isn't there an argument that our future is not based on what's underneath the ground? As Auditor J.B. McCuskey said the other day on the front porch, it's not what's underneath the ground. It's what's between our shoulders. It's our hearts and our heads. And higher ed, the arts, education, these are the sorts of things that places are rebuilding their economies around.
Thank you for making my point,
you
Scott.
Know, I mean, I don't know. Lori, what do you think?
Well, let me ask you this. The governor vetoed a bill that would have zeroed out funding for the Greyhound program, right? That was $14 million. Apparently, the dog program is super important. So that, I mean, that's the first thing I would say. You can't do everything. You have to make choices. And you know, I'm sorry, but when we have these huge deficits, the question, what should we cut? It should be something that you have an answer to, even if it's just the Greyhound program, right? You should be able to find something. And so he vetoed that. And then, you know, now we have $16 million in higher ed cuts. And hey, we could have saved all but two of that money if we had just gone ahead and eliminated the Greyhound program, which almost no one likes except the people who benefit from it. The dogs don't even like it. And the other thing is, you know, there's higher ed and there's higher ed. I mean, there's a thing going around on Twitter that says that West Virginia University has 75 PR employees. I'm sure they would dispute that. Probably comes down to what you're considering a PR employee. But if it's even close to that, that's pretty bad. And you know, you say there's this pot of money that's higher ed, but, you know, that's Bob Huggins' salary. That's buildings for, you know, new fancy dorms, new athletic. I mean, it's not all just tuition. It's not all, you know, this bare bones stuff. And Gordon Gee, the president of West Virginia University, he does a great job, but his mission is not to help the poor people of West Virginia. It's to grow his empire, his university. And so to just shovel money without question. And you know what? The legislature probably shouldn't tinker with Gordon Gee's budget, right? But
he did get something he wanted. By the way, I'm sure Gordon Gee would disagree.
Absolutely.
But I won't take up his cause. He can
we'll
speak for himself. But what he did get is more flexibility. They passed a bill in the regular session that allows WVU to have a lot more choices in terms of how it hires and fires people. And so he did get something out of this.
Yeah.
Now, I think your bigger point is there fat to be cut in state government? And the obvious answer is yes, there is. I think the issue, though, the problem is that a lot of times when these budget cuts come down, what people really, really don't want to do, and nobody wants to do, is lay off employees. But that's where the savings are had. What often happens is instead what they do is they cut the money that they give to the community in terms of Medicaid funding or grants or higher education tuition help and that sort of thing.
Or
fairs and festivals. That's what goes first. You know why? Because nobody wants to lay off employees. And I get that. But if you're really talking about cutting the fat out of government, J.B. McCuskey, again, the auditor who was on here the other week, said it best. He's like, we have more state employees and we have fewer state residents. And that's an equation that can't continue forever. We're going to be having our employee reductions this year. It's already happening here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. And I think if they want to get serious about cutting the size of state government, they have to cut the size of the state payroll instead of putting it all on the backs of, let's say, Medicaid recipients or students who are going to WVU and tuition increases.
You still get your private jet, though, right?
Yeah, that's protected.
Okay.
I mean, you know, there's essential and there's essential. Yeah.
But there are no employees in the Greyhound program. I don't know. There's probably somebody.
Well, there are people employed raising the Greyhound.
Right, but they're not state employees. I am far from the only person who thinks it was a pretty bipartisan thing. What it was a regional. The folks from Wheeling really wanted to keep it, including, you know, to be fair, some Republicans.
And the Panhandle. I mean, they say it's a really big part of their economy up there. And, you know, that's what the argument you hear from people on both sides of that.
Hard choices. You got to make choices. So, you know, as of now, we have the Greyhound program continuing and $16 million worth of cuts to higher ed. And that's all in the governor.
That's Lori Lynn. She is our conservative columnist, lawyer, and co-host. And Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee. I'm Scott Finn, CEO of West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Take care. Hi, this is Scott Finn, Executive Director at West Virginia Public Broadcasting, with a budget update. The bad news is that we've received a $1 million cut in our state funding. The good news? Hundreds of our supporters have responded to our Protect West Virginia Public Broadcasting campaign. And if you donate between now and the end of the month, you'll see your gift matched dollar for dollar. So double your impact and call 800-RADIO-87 or make your pledge online at wvpublic.org.